I want to make sure that my microphone is on, because I think when we started out, I did not have my mic on. But you're used to that, aren't you? I have always been technology challenged, and so I'm very, very thankful that we have some folks in our church who had the know-how to set up this live stream this morning. I want to thank Rick and Jeannie Hoover, and I want to thank Chris and Susan Livingston and Jeff Davis. Have been scrambling to do things that are mysteries beyond what I can comprehend. They've got this all set up so that we can come to you this morning and we can be gathered together. And right now I want to share with you, I hope you have your Bible with you. We may be doing this for more weeks than we want to. So when you settle in to be a part of our worship on the live stream, please bring a Bible with you and be prepared to follow along. And the scripture that I'm going to read this morning and I want to share with you is Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. Hear now the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Would you bow with me for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a 20th century French philosopher named Paul Ricoeur, who also happened to be a Christian. He wrote about something that he called limit experiences, and they come into every life. A limit experience is any experience or circumstance that takes you beyond the range of normal. We tend to like normal. We're creatures of habit. And in any experience, what Ricoeur called a limit experience is an experience that takes us beyond that normal and into unknown territory and makes us fearful. It's a natural response to the unknown. Now, limit experiences happen all the time. For instance, the doctor tells you you have cancer. A loved one dies. A marriage comes apart. You get let go from a job. What's unique and what's happening right now is that we are all together going through a limit experience of the coronavirus epidemic and the social distancing that we've been asked to do as a result. And I've just got to tell you that personally I'm being reminded how much I love all of you and how much I love being gathered together. To give that up on Sunday is really difficult. But so thankful for this time together. Well, how do you deal with a limit experience? The 46th Psalm is written exactly, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, precisely for moments like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice that the psalm does not begin with us and our situation and whatever that might be and our fearfulness. The psalm begins with God. God is our fortress. God is our refuge. God is our strength. It begins with God, and that's a good reminder for us to begin with God. During this time, brothers and sisters, begin every day with God. Begin every day taking some quiet time alone with the Lord. Open your Bible, read God's Word, read the Psalms, read from the Gospels about our Savior Jesus. Spend time alone with God in prayer, and God will refresh you. God will sustain you. Let God be your refuge and your strength right now. And then the 46th Psalm goes on to paint a picture of about the most extreme limit experience that could be imagined. The psalmist paints this picture of the world literally falling apart. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. I'm picturing the great Sawtooth Range of Idaho breaking loose and sliding across Idaho and across Oregon and into the Pacific Ocean. That would get our attention, wouldn't it? The psalmist is painting a picture of the most extreme limit event imaginable, and he says, we won't be afraid. And then he goes on to tell us how. Because in verse 3, or rather in verse 4, the image changes completely. It changes from these images of cataclysm in the first few verses, and the psalmist shifts into this incredible image of peace and provision from God. Listen to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, the city of God, in the mind of the psalmist, the city of God is Jerusalem. And the psalmist, it's the city of Jerusalem, the heart in the Old Testament, the heart of the people of God. It's the place of God's holy temple where God's Holy Spirit dwells in Old Testament times. And so this is an incredible image of peace. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. But there's one problem with this image. Jerusalem does not have a river. You may know that. There is no river in Jerusalem. There is no river near Jerusalem. Now, the empires that often threatened Israel, they had rivers. The capital of Egypt was on the Nile. Babylon, the center of the Babylonian Empire, was located at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. But the simple truth is, there is no river in Jerusalem. There's a creek. In fact, it would be flattery to the Gihon Spring to call it a creek. It's a little trickle of dependable water that does flow, and it still flows. It flowed in ancient times, and it still does. The Gihon Spring flows into the Pool of Siloam, which is a very small man-made reservoir that was actually built in ancient times. So if the psalmist is not talking about a literal river, what is he talking about? Well, this river is God himself. This river is God's Holy Spirit. Now, in ancient times, the Holy Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory of God, dwelt in the temple, first in the tabernacle during the wilderness wandering, and then in the temple at Jerusalem. And if you were to ask a Jew in ancient times, how do you meet God? The answer would be, well, you go to the temple and you worship there, because that's the presence of God on earth. But even in those times, there was a knowledge that God cannot be confined to any one location. And there was a prophecy about the Spirit of God flowing like a river out to all the world. After this psalm was written, but still in Old Testament times, Ezekiel saw a vision, and it's recorded in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. And it's one of the most incredible visuals, a vision given to us in all the Bible. 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, in his mind's eye, this vision that God gives him, he sees the temple in Jerusalem, and suddenly something unusual begins to happen. Water starts to flow out of the temple, out of the threshold of the temple. And at first it's ankle deep, and then suddenly it's knee deep, and then suddenly it's waist high. And then, says Ezekiel, suddenly it's flowing like a mighty river that cannot be crossed. And even more marvelous, as this river flowed out of God's temple in his vision, everywhere the river went, it brought life and peace and renewal and new life. The water would flow into stagnant pools, and they would become clear and pure. And along the banks of this river, life sprang up, green and lush. And there were fruit trees, and Ezekiel said the fruit of the trees was for food, and the leaves were for healing. Brothers and sisters, Ezekiel's vision was a prophecy of the Holy Spirit of God breaking out from a limited geographic location in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit of God flowing out like a mighty river and satisfying anyone who is thirsty. When Jesus died on the cross to break the power of sin and death, when he offered himself there as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, so that all of our sin would be cleansed away and we could once again come to God and receive life from him. At the moment Jesus died on the cross, remember, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit of God flowed out like a river into the world. It's in the seventh chapter of John's Gospel that Jesus said something amazing, remarkable. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What a wonderful promise. That's a promise for you to rely on today. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty. Are you thirsty for God today? Do you want to be refreshed by that river of life? Come to Jesus Christ in faith. Put your trust in him. It's not based on any worth. Don't worry about your worthiness, because it's not based on that. Trust only in his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. That invitation is as broad as all humanity, and it's as narrow as one Savior. Jesus is the only source of life. He's the one. Come to him. But then he makes this remarkable promise, surprising promise. He doesn't talk about a river. Jesus didn't talk about a river flowing into us. He talked about it flowing out of us. Did you catch that? I'm in John chapter 7 again. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity right now for a frightened world to share the love of Jesus Christ, and Jesus promised that it will flow out of you, the power of the Holy Spirit that has flowed into you will flow out of you like a river of living water. This is an important time as a church that we're looking out for one another. I encourage you to get out your church directory. Pray for each person, each family by name. You can even visualize them because you got the picture there in our pictorial directory. And let's stay in touch. Let's be rivers of living water to one another. Work the telephone. Call your friends. Just check in. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? And for our neighbors. Our neighbors in the world who may not know the hope of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about finding toilet paper. You've got plenty. Let's be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God and let it flow through us to give hope to others. Reach out to your neighbors. Do you know a neighbor, perhaps an elderly person, who may not be able to get out? Somebody you could do a shopping run for them, or do any kind of a small service or a favor. Or if you need some help, if you have any need, please call the church office, and we'll make sure that you get what you need. One of my favorite stories about preaching comes from a 19th century evangelist named Dwight L. Moody. And he used to preach to crowds of thousands and thousands of people. And somebody once asked him, what was the secret of why did people come to listen to him? And he said, they don't come for me. They're thirsty, and they come for the water. He said, and I'm kind of an old bucket, and I'm rusty, and I'm full of holes, and I leak like crazy, but I keep it under the pump. Brothers and sisters, keep your bucket under the pump right now. Spend time with the Lord daily. Let him fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit and let it flow out to bless others. Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you are a river of life and you flow out. Your Holy Spirit has flowed out to all the world. And it's because of the gift of Jesus. It's because of his death on the cross in our place that power, that life-giving power is now released to all the world with love and with healing and with joy. Lord, I pray that we will astound our neighbors with the joy that we're experiencing right now in you and that they'll want what we have. So, Lord, just pour out your Spirit, bless your people, and by your grace may we be a blessing to others. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.